WIRI.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour, heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Happy Monday, everybody. Your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hey, James. How you been?
Yeah, good. It's good to have you here, Randy.
Good to be back.
Been a while. It feels good. Welcome to the studio. No, I'm going to show you around.
Yeah, this is nice.
We appreciate y'all joining us on this rainy, thundery afternoon out there. Hope you guys are all safe. I've had some trees reported down and some stuff, so hope you guys are doing well out there. We'll be keeping an eye on the Rafter game as well. I'll let you know how that's looking and anything else that might be going on. Around 4:30, Randy's going to have some local stuff for us. We'll get into that then. Of course, we'll get into a bunch of other things, and I got a couple of things on the Brewers, young rookie pitcher I want to talk about. Got a great story of the show involving a former Brewer, and a little Badger talk, all kinds of stuff lined up for you. But really, it's your show. Whatever you want to talk about, we will. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We're able to do that thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Big shout out to them. Randy, how's your summer been so far?
It's going quickly, is it not?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Here we are already, what, 2 days into summer? And the next thing you know, it'll be the start of the school year.
I had to look at, like, a triple take at the calendar today. I was putting out the schedule for July, and I look, and I'm like, oh, my, it's already June 23rd. When did June, like, run by?
You know, isn't that crazy? And we ended school, you know, about a month ago, and we start up again in about 2 months. And even before that, we'll be doing high school football games. And I know, big shout-out to Michael and Seth and Beth and all the people, Laura, who are running boards back here and getting all those high school games on, which just doesn't work in my schedule in the spring. But they did a fantastic job. And of course, the Assumption girls losing to Washburn losing to the team that won the state championship.
Crazy.
So yeah,
it's been already very exciting. It was a really exciting high school season. Mm-hmm. At Civic Media, we're and WFHR and WIRI, we were able to put on more high school games than anybody. We're going to continue to do that next year. Looking forward to it. Michael is already putting together and looking at the football schedule and everything, and we're really excited about it. And we'll be excited to hear you calling some of these games again and everything. Do you know how many years this has been for you, man?
Started in 92, so okay. If you do the math, that's like at least five.
Yeah, that's at least five games you've done, at least. That's really impressive, though, man. We're thankful to have you here and thankful to hear your voice coming up this fall. It'll be exciting. One of the things that's exciting about summer, I think, as much as I love sports and I can't get enough of it and everything, is this almost downtime that we get with sports. You still got baseball going on and everything, but with the NHL and NBA playoffs wrapping up their seasons, you've got this kind of open window, and it frees you up to other sports. Now, this is a perfect time of year, of course, when the Olympics are around, the Summer Olympics are around. It takes all of my attention, at least. I know it does, but there's other things that are going to be happening that we'll be able to put some time on, and this is a perfect time for you guys out there to bring those sports takes and feelings to us that we love to hear. 715-424-2600, just a touch or two away in the Civic Media app. Last week, we got to talk about the Florida Panthers winning their championship, what that meant to the NHL, what it means to, you know, the Florida Panthers and that organization and everything. The fact that one thing I didn't get to touch on, I don't know if enough people are talking about or noticed, the Stanley Cup has called Florida home for like the last six seasons, basically, with Tampa Bay having their run and now Florida having their run. And there's nothing that feels good about this if you're a Canadian. But the only thing that could probably make it worse is if it was in like another warm state like California or Texas or something like that. Like it's got to be it's got to dig, and that to me makes, you know, it very interesting offseason, not just with the NHL but specifically with Edmonton, Toronto, Winnipeg, these teams that every year it's just the pressure gets bigger and bigger. And it's one thing to try to look at what Oklahoma City just went through. You're the big dog coming into the NBA season. You are the ones that most big heads out there are predicting you're going to win the NBA title. I heard Michael Wilbon saying Oklahoma City was going to win the NBA title before a preseason game had even been played. You have that kind of pressure on you, and you are young and inexperienced in some ways. It's that kind of pressure for a whole country. Think of the pressure Jordan Love is on as soon as the ink dries on that contract. Now times that by however many people are in Canada. it's impressive to me. And speaking of Canada, you have Oklahoma City wrapping up their title last night. You had the two best words in sports, Game 7. I have heard some people saying that it was a disappointing Game 7 and some of that. I grant you that it wasn't as exciting as it could be in the last second shot or some other games have been in the playoffs, specifically, you know, Tyrese Halliburton knocking out New York in that first game with that crazy bounce and all of that. But I thought it was exciting enough. And I thought, especially in the first half, Indy gave you everything you had. It was not surprising that once the adrenaline and the momentum goes away at halftime, that they came back the way that they did. They were a team that looked like they should, a team that has not got to play together as much as when their starting point guard is in there. You had a guy who everybody loves in their backup point guard in McConnell. Great player, great athlete, would love to have him on my team. Not a starter. He's not a starter.
He's not Tyrese.
And when you put him in that starting role, you're going to have a lot of mistakes. And he had so many turnovers that were unpredictable or uncharacteristic of him, but only because we don't see him play that much. When you have a guy play on the field, there's a reason he's not a starter. I'm not trying to be mean here, just being honest. This is sports. Feelings don't have any place except for fans. That's one thing I learned from my father really early in sports. If you're an athlete, you got no time for feelings. But if you're a fan, it's all about feelings. It's a very big difference in sports. And oftentimes we expect our athletes to have the feelings we do, but they don't. And I touch on that for a reason. Oklahoma City won their first title, first time for that since they moved to Oklahoma City, of course. Seattle, their original team, won a title way back in the day, the Seattle Supersonics. There should still be a team in Seattle. I'm going to say that until the end of time or until they put a team in there. When the last time Oklahoma City was in this position, they had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. Just an incredible threesome that on paper, if you didn't know much about the NBA, you would expect, well, they had to have won a title with those three players. Right. They had to have won a title. Yeah. Of course, they don't. They got to the finals, didn't end up happening. Team separates. This time around, when Sam Presti was putting together this team, he had a very similar vision. And even to the point of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander being this freak of nature, very similar to Russell Westbrook. You've got a Jalen Williams, who is incredibly similar to a Kevin Durant. And you can even flip those comparisons if you want, but something along those lines. And then you find a seven-footer that can shoot threes like Kevin Durant and Chet Holmgren. And so you've got your big three again. And these guys are young, and they're developing well, and all of that. But there is one major difference that Sam Presti was looking for. This time he was looking for humility over swagger, which is something that those big three, the original big three of OKC, had quite a bit of swagger, especially a James Harden, you know, in that. Russell Westbrook wasn't much of a talker, but Kevin Durant, you know, he was out there doing that, and he was a talker as far as off the court and such. So the humility part of this, I think, is really interesting. And I think it's part of the reason why people feel like the series wasn't as exciting, because you didn't have as much much talking going on. Indianapolis was probably the most talkative, and even they weren't that talkative. Tyrese Halliburton wouldn't have been talking as much if there weren't as many mics being put in his face. You know, he's a talker more on the court. He doesn't do as much off court. It was just interesting to see, and I think that's part of the reason. I think that people were expecting much more pomp and circumstance, and this is a team that just went out there and tried to win. A young team, so of course there's going to be bumps in the road, and it wasn't this decisive victory that I think a lot of us would have liked, or a close game like a lot of us would have liked. But man, from front to back, Oklahoma City was the number one team on everybody's bulletin board, and they did it.
And I remember when we were talking about, when we first put together the whole playoff picture, we were just kind of saying, is Cleveland going to be able to do it? Is OKC going to be able to do it? Well, OKC is able to do it. You know, as soon as Tyrese went down early in that ball game, you had 9 points. You know, and from what I read, I guess he rolled up his Achilles, so he may not even play next year. But you kind of went, oh boy, that's going to be tough for them to overcome. And, you know, it was close at halftime. I think the score at halftime was 48-47. Indianapolis is up by one. And yeah. They ended up getting outscored 34-20 in the third quarter, and that's when it kind of went away. So it sure would have been fun to watch Tyrese in there the whole game and see how it developed. It's kind of interesting, you know, he had that calf injury, and you wonder if that had anything to do that led to the, you know, the tearing of the Achilles. Always makes you wonder. But, you know, something that maybe people don't recall was that in the middle of the season, they always have this, like, this little play-in tournament, this NBA Cup in Las Vegas. And the Bucks defeated OKC back in that game. It was 97-81. Giannis was the MVP, had 26 points, 19 boards, 10 assists. It's interesting how things can play out right over the course of time. And speaking of that, you know, you're talking a little bit about the NHL as well. The last time a Canadian team won the NHL was 93.
It's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
That's just
incredible. It's like as long as I've been here.
When it comes to things that I wouldn't have ever been able to predict, that is one of the biggest ones. That is easily top five for me, things that I would have never guessed. If you went back to that year and said, this is the last time a Canadian team is going to win for like 30 years, I would not only laugh at you, I would never believe another thing you ever said. You could tell me that air is good for you, and I wouldn't believe you.
And not being betting people, we would have taken that bet,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely, 100%, 100%. I'm glad you brought up Tyrese, because I'm going to say something and get ready to call up 424-2600. Everybody, you're ready to get mad at me and yell at me. And I want just one thing to keep in mind, that I am the son of an athlete, and I grew up around athletics. I grew up around professional athletics, athletes, and all of that. And I take that into consideration. I am also a fan of Tyrese Halliburton. I liked him in high school. I liked him in college. We got to experience him in high school around here, hearing about him and everything. I liked his game in college. I couldn't have been happier for him when he got traded to Indianapolis, because I thought, this is his chance. If he's gonna break out, he's not gonna do it in Sacramento. He'll do it in the home of basketball, in Indiana, where they love their team. Nobody talks enough about that team and that fan base and how much they have supported that team over the years
and how much they've grown in the last 2 years.
That's one of the toughest places to play, even when they weren't. When Miles Turner was their best player, it was one of the toughest places to play. That's no shot at Miles Turner. That's just showing you how good that fan base is. Tyrese Halliburton should have never been out there.
I was kind of wondering.
He should have never been out there for two major reasons. And one of them, I believe, that has probably been talked about a lot. If you don't know much about this, I happen to have a couple of friends who are in the medical industry or grew up or worked in the medical industry. And I've heard Shams and some other people talk. Not Shams. Some people talk about this. If you have a hamstring injury, the next thing to go is the ACL. It's the hip bone connected to the, you know, I mean, we know the song. We know how this goes. It does not take a medical license to tell you that if that doesn't heal, the only outcome is a torn ACL. There is no, well, just, you know, go ahead and, other than staying off it and not doing things that the human body is not meant to do, which, by the way, every single thing you do in basketball or sports pretty much is something the human body was not meant to do. It just wasn't. We push it to the limit all the time. He should not have been out there, because there is only one outcome. Had he played the whole game and not injured that ACL, had they won the NBA championship, I'll say this, outside of winning the NBA championship, he shouldn't have been out there. But even then, I think your best chance, if you are Rick Carlisle, to win that game is to be the man in the room and be like, I'm sorry, you are not good enough to be out there right now, and we got to think about next year. We got to think about the year after that. We are a young team. Things are just going right for us. Nobody expected us to be here. We have to think of the big picture. That's what it is to be in management. That's what it is to be an adult. You got to think of the big picture always. Let the athlete think current. Let the athlete think right now. That's their job. That's who they are. And God bless them for being that way, because they entertain the living daylights out of us. But as a coach, as the big man, the old man in the room, your job is to be like, well, This is the way it can play out, guys. Because guess what? Willis Reed ruined basketball in some ways. I mean, he did not. It's one of the greatest moments in basketball history. But because of Willis Reed going out there, everybody romanticizes that. New York wins the title. It's amazing. Willis Reed shot two shots in that game, basically. He came out, shot the opening shot, I believe, and that was it. And he didn't play much after that. And if you were going to do that, if you're going to have Tyrese go out there, try to give it his all, and then they pull him out at the first time out, then it's a whole different story. Then your guys are motivated. Your guys, look what our guy did for us. Look at how awesome that was. Instead, if I'm Rick Carlisle, I'm playing this out for them. In the first to second quarter, he's going to blow out his ACL. And then how are you guys going to feel? You're going to be motivated in the first couple of minutes because you're young and this is adrenaline and this is the way sports work. And you're going to feel great. And then what happens in the third quarter? What happens in the fourth quarter? When you don't have your closer there, when you don't have your team heart there, you're noticing it's gone because you just had it out there and it's gone. And it's not gone because it was removed as a coaching decision. It's gone because of fate. It's gone because of science. There's very few human beings in the world that can win off of that. We just saw it. Kevin Durant went out there for Golden State and tried to play his heart out. What happened? Blew out his ACL. Golden State loses. We've seen it before in other athletes. There's literally no example of this working out except for Willis Reed. That's it. Go ahead and correct me, please, at 424-2600, but I did my homework on this one. I did it before Game 7. And I was screaming, he should not be out there. He's not 100%. And you're costing him a season. You're costing Indianapolis Pacers a season. You are hurting your organization and your franchise. You can give me all the talk about, oh, but they can't win without him. Then you go ahead and give it your best shot. You put out there the best team you can, and you work with what you are because that's what you're paid to do. You're paid a lot of money to do it. You could tell me that they would have never had a chance without Tyrese Halliburton. I could not disagree with you more. With a gelled team that showed that they could win without Tyrese. They already showed they could win without him. All you got to do is win one game. That's it. Just one game. Going out, putting him out there, I didn't think they had a chance. I didn't think they were going to win that game for a second. I am not a predictor. And if you want to know what bet to take, take the opposite of what I say 9 times out of 10. But to me, it was one of the most obvious storylines in human history of how this was going to play out. We've seen it a dozen times.
But you know what's
anybody
interesting?
Anybody with a hamstring injury, it's going to turn into a torn ACL, and now he's gone for the next season pretty much.
What's interesting, you know, you kind of think back to when Christian Watson tore his Achilles. You know, I think he had a calf injury too, but you know, I always think too, the doctors, the team doctors, they just won't let him play unless, you know, they give them the okay. So you're kind of assuming that their physicians, their medical staff said he was okay to play, but you know, when they showed that in slow motion and you could just kind of see all this in the calf and you could just see the Achilles roll up into his calf, you're like, boy, it sure looks like an Achilles. You know, we've seen that kind of video before, and I guess that's what I read today. That's what it is.
He has a torn Achilles tendon. Yeah. So he is pretty much him.
And they think
much
maybe
like
next year.
Him like Jason Tatum, yeah. and not as similar, but little similar to Dame Lillard. Their next seasons are done. Like, we'll be lucky to see those guys a little bit at the end of the season.
Christian Watson maybe at the end of the football season for the Packers, right?
The of all the injuries, to me, that are so dooming, it's the ACL. So that, again, is another reason why I would not have had him out there.
So, you know, last year or the year before, we had Kirk Cousins do that against the Packers. We had Aaron Rodgers do it in his first game, play 4 or 5, something like that. And Rodgers was not as mobile last year. Of course, he's getting older, so it's really hard to tell. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of mobility Christian Watson's going to have, you know, with his speed that he had. But, you know, anytime you get those lower leg injuries, like you think of Jordy Nelson when he tore up his knee in that preseason game that time. It's just like he came back, but he just that step difference. And boy, I'll tell you what, as a professional athlete, that's huge.
It's all it takes.
Huge.
One second difference is all it takes.
Tenths of a second in the NFL, right?
And I'll save anybody some time that wants to call up or tell me, like a texter did, well, he wanted to play. That's, again, why you are the adult in the room and you're paid the big money. Sit him down. Sit him down. If he was 0 for 16 in the game, they'd have no problem sitting him down. sit him down. That's your job. I know he wants to play. He's supposed to want to play. He's a professional athlete. How do you think he got here? I want him to be that person. I like that person. I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong by wanting to play. It's more so Rick Carlisle and that organization having. They apparently had a talk with him and they talked this out. And if he went out there and he wasn't playing well, they were going to pull him. What a dumb decision. Sorry, but dumb. He hit three threes in a row and blew out his ACL and now is done for next year and they didn't win the title. Well done.
Do you think maybe in the back of the mind, you look at somebody like the Bucks. How many championships did they win? One. You look at the Packers recently. How many championships have they won? One. So the opportunity, is that also in the back of your mind going, we are in game seven. It's hard. It's hard to get all the way to the championship, to a game seven. And they're going, you know what? Is it worth the risk? Maybe it is. Because even if we have healthy Aaron Rodgers, we won one championship. Even if we have a healthy Giannis, we won one championship. So it's that hard to win. So maybe they're thinking, you know, it's worth the chance.
It's exactly because of that, Randy, that I feel like he should not have played. Because he was not even 80%. We see now he wasn't even. I wouldn't say he was 70% out there. That thing blew he didn't make it a quarter. He wasn't even making a basketball move. He was running, moving forward. It wasn't even that thing was going to go, was a ticking time bomb. And everybody, the people that should have known that better than anybody is the people in that organization. They cost him and, as NBA fans, us a better game seven because he was out there. And again, I love the kid. I love his fight. I wish him nothing but a quick healing process, and I cannot wait to see him playing again. It has nothing to do with him as a person or him as a his drive and all that. It has to do with the fact that he wasn't 100%. I would say the same thing about Pascal Siakam or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or any other athlete out there. Shouldn't have been out there. And because it's one game, all you got to do is one game, four quarters. That's all you got to do. All the more reason, have your guys that are healthiest out there.
It's interesting that the medical staff must have cleared him.
They must have. And to me, that's a failure on the medical staff. They messed up too. I'm not nowhere, as much as my mother would love it to be different, I'm nowhere near being a doctor or anything like that. I've played a doctor three times, though. As an actor, I've played it. But even I could tell this. And even I know this, again, from watching sports. And one last thing about this real quick. I keep hearing a number of people mention Jason Tatum and now him and Dame Lillard and some of these things, in that the NBA has an injury problem. Sports has an injury problem. It's not just the NBA. We were barking about this during the NFL playoffs. We're darn sure going to be barking about it all season long in Major League Baseball when some starting pitcher has to have Tommy John surgery in a week. It's sports that has an issue with this.
And isn't it amazing, you know, you were talking earlier about the NHL and the Florida run. There's not that many injuries in the NHL.
No.
And just insane. Look how physical that is.
Well, here's the thing with that. Maybe there is. It's just they play through it.
Yeah.
We found out last year when Matthew Tkachuk won when the Florida Panthers won their first title, he had like about seven injuries that most any other athlete would not have played with, including like a broken leg. It's my favorite thing about the difference of regular season sports and playoff sports. Hockey, unlike any other sport, is different in this. Some sports are a little different. Basketball especially, because it does feel like some guys hold on to something to get out there, a la Jimmy Butler and some things like that. The difference of regular season and the playoffs. In the regular season hockey, guy shoots a goal at the top of the key, and it's going to have a chance to go in or whatever. In the playoffs, guy shoots from the top of the key, and about two different defensemen jump and throw their face into the face of the puck. And then we'll get up after losing two teeth and go out there and keep playing.
Or I'm just thinking too out loud here. Is it possibly the fact that they have like three, four lines and you go hard for like 60 seconds, 90 seconds?
Yeah.
And then you get yourself a 4 or 5 minute break.
That's a part of it, absolutely. Especially right now in today's NHL, mm-hmm. where it's so much about depth. It's so much about that. Florida had Brad Marchand under third line. Like, they had a guy who's a Hall of Famer, basically, just sitting on the... I know he's 36, but he's still sitting there, and he obviously had amazing playoffs.
They were so much fun to watch, weren't they?
They were. They were. I like that style of hockey. I like teams that are going to beat you up. I like teams that are going to go out there and they're going to try to out-tough you. That's not old school hockey to me, because they still scored a ton, but it's got a taste of it. And I think if Canada, to every Canadian team, if you want to win in the playoffs and you want to bring Lord Stanley back to Canada and all of that, it's not that hard. Florida did this. Florida just gave you the blueprint. Florida was the number one team in hockey, broke records scoring-wise and all that, got into the first round of the playoffs and got knocked out. Got knocked out and immediately looked at their team and had one of the smartest decisions I've seen in sports in a very long time. Well, we got to start over. Like, what? Like, we just had the greatest team we've ever had in our history. It's hockey. Things happen. Things lose in the first round. Good teams lose in the first round all the time. No. We're not playing right in the playoffs. We'll never win in the playoffs like this. We'll never win in the playoffs playing style hockey. We'll never win playing scoring hockey. We got to beat you up. We got to do that. We got to go. That's the way you win in hockey. And sure enough, they trade their best player for Matthew Tkachuk, not knowing that Matthew Tkachuk would turn into what he is. A great player, but not knowing that he would turn into all of the things he has in Florida. And Sam Bennett, Reinhart, these guys, they're not just goal scorers. They will knock you out. And that's hockey. There's a lot that has changed about hockey. They got the goons out of it. You don't see as many fights, but you will never get that out of hockey. In the playoffs, do you have guys who are willing to literally throw their face in front of the puck? Because if you don't, you will never win in hockey. That is guaranteed. I will promise you that. I will guarantee you anything you want on that. That'll never change. And if you build your team like that, you may not win the President's Trophy. You may not have the greatest team in the regular season, but you could be holding up Lord Stanley at the end of it, because that's how you win, having guys on your team that are willing to throw their face in front of a puck. It's the number one thing on a hockey resume to me. It's the number one thing. Oh, this guy scored this many goals in college, this and this and this. Yeah. That's great. That's really cool. How did he do in the playoffs? What body part was he willing to throw in front of a puck? Because those are my guys. And before we get to break, the other big story that came out of yesterday and the weekend, Kevin Durant being traded, the former Phoenix Sun, who apparently spent 3 seasons there. When did that happen? Yeah, I didn't know he was there that long. Got traded to the Houston Rockets, young up-and-coming team, finished second in the West last season. Traded them for Jalen Green and a bunch of guys that aren't even going to be in Phoenix. And five second-round picks, ooh, which is odd. I mean, you know, the NBA draft only has 2 rounds, so that does hurt you a little bit. And at the same time, the second round is a little like the 7th round, and or maybe it's more fair to say the 5th or 6th round in NFL or something. But still, a lot for a aging superstar. I do think it's a great move. I do think it's a really good move for a young team to have a vet like that. Kevin Durant doesn't get rocked. Kevin Durant, there's few athletes I've seen love what they do more than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, going back to high school, I remember watching him in the McDonald's All-American game and just how much he loves basketball. He's in the offseason going to New York's Rucker Park and playing like a game of 50 just to play basketball. This man really, really, really loves basketball. You have a guy like that with a bunch of young players, I feel like that's going to be pretty good. I don't know that that means that Houston's going to even make it to the Western Conference Finals, but I like that fit on that team. They need offense. Kevin Durant averaged 26 points a game last season. His type of style of game ages well. He's spending a lot of time on the perimeter. He can play some defense still. I like the move.
That kid, I remember him in college. I mean, he was one of the most pure shooters I remember ever seeing in college.
Just incredible shot.
Smooth, and he still is, yeah.
I hope everybody wasn't expecting more storylines from the NBA this offseason, this summer, because this is my last one. But I had a couple of takes I wanted to get to today. This is my last one. This is the last big story out of the NBA this summer. I don't believe Giannis is going to be traded, and if he is, I think it'll be closer to the trade deadline during the regular season. But I don't think even that's happening. I don't believe that Giannis is going to be traded. I don't think that, one, you're going to get a team that can equal this that equal the payout. The only options I see happening here is the team that just won the NBA title in the Oklahoma City Thunder. They have the assets that could trade for him. Why would they?
Yeah.
Why would you? Why would you break up that team? Why would you do anything to muck up that team? I can't see it. I'm not saying that there aren't other teams that could theoretically work it out and everything. But as far as what Milwaukee is going to be asking, I don't know that there's a team out there that can offer it that Giannis would want to go to. I don't see this. There's not the options. There's not the openings. And it's not as simple as on your video game to be able to make these trades happen and everything. I really don't think he's going to be traded. And if it happens, I don't think it's going to happen until midseason, something like that.
Well, I think back to when the Bucks had Alcindor Jabbar and they ended up trading him to the Lakers because he was disgruntled in Milwaukee and he just didn't like the city life there. And so they had to trade him and they got Marcus Johnson and a couple of other players that were really good.
Nice pieces.
Really good. Yeah. But did they win any championships?
No.
And I think that's the other thing. You know, can they put some pieces around Giannis to win a championship? Probably more so than trading Giannis and trying to win an NBA championship. And I, you know, from what I hear, from everything I've seen, he's a very loyal person. He's very grateful that the Bucks picked him when he was 17 years old and have been paying him the money. And he just, you know, because of that, he may not go anywhere just because of he doesn't. I don't know. We don't know what his mind is, but that's what I've heard.
Here's the thing. We've assumed one thing about this. Now, he has made comments here and there in the press about wanting to be competitive, wanting to win championships, a lot of that stuff. We've never heard him say one negative thing about playing for the Milwaukee Bucks or living in Milwaukee or anything among that. If anything, we've only heard the opposite. How, you know, early on in his career, they started bringing in more Greek restaurants and things like that. And there's like almost a little Greek town in Milwaukee now because of him and some of these things. This kid's different. He's loyal. He's got a lot of different things going on for him in his brain that are different than your typical NBA superstar. Or superstar in general, not just NBA, but superstar in general.
Well, you think how poor they were when he was growing up, right? He and his brother couldn't even play at the same time because they shared a pair of shoes.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And so he's like, this is what the Bucks have done for me, and there, maybe therein lies that loyalty.
And I think that maybe just as importantly as that, if not number 1A, 1B, is the fact that the East can be had.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a team in the East, and I just saw what the Indianapolis Pacers did, there's blood in the water, baby. Boston's not they're nothing to be scared of anymore. I'm not scared of Jaylen Brown. I'm not scared of him at all. I'll just go left. That's all I got to do is just guard him. I'll put all my whole team over here. You do use the shift on Jaylen Brown. Use the shift. I'm not worried about any team in the East. There's nobody in the East I'm scared of. The team that I think has the best right now, and this is going to change. All these rosters are going to change from here to the first preseason game. But if I'm looking at the rosters right now, I like Milwaukee out of the East. I like the way they look. I like them a lot more than Philly. What player on Philadelphia's team do you think is going to be? Do you feel is going to be confident to still be playing after the All-Star break? Anybody want to take a bet on how many games Joel Embiid's going to play? No, I'm not worried about them. Yeah. Boston, I just got done talking about. Indy I would have been scared of had they done the right thing and not played Tyrese Halliburton. I ain't afraid of Indy anymore. Not until he comes back, at least.
If.
The East can be had. Mm-hmm. The East is open. What reason and what incentive, if you're Milwaukee, do you have to trade the best player in the East?
Right. And arguably in the NBA.
What world could you possibly get anything back that equals that?
Yeah.
I've heard a couple of arguments about they got to think about the future and they're a small market team or whatever. No. You have to think about the future in regards of this coming season. Yeah. But it's win now. And every franchise in all of sports begs for this. Begs for what the Milwaukee Bucks have right now.
And I think that was the big thing that happened with both Favre and with Rodgers. You know, the big argument was always it was win now, but they never gave them the receivers that could have won them the championship more than they each won one. So, and so it's the same thing here. give them, you know, they tried it with Damian, and it didn't work out the first year or so, and with the injury now, but it'll be interesting to see if they make some moves in the offseason that can surround him here.
They don't have a lot of wiggle room, but I don't think you need a lot of wiggle room to make things happen in that regard. It's not, I'm not saying they're going to be able to bring in another superstar or something like that.
But solid pieces like a Jrue Holiday that they had, right?
Exactly.
Bunch of solid guys.
Yeah, I think that is definitely doable for them, especially with a very smart or a run organization. They've got a good GM. They've got a good team over there. We're going to take a quick time out. It's all right, though. We got another one in our pocket. We'll come back, and Randy's got some local coverage for us. We'll get to here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Have you ever looked at their name closely? Quality Plus Printing. Your one-stop location for creative design, great customer service, printing for any occasion, and even creating a custom clothing line for your sports team or next family vacation. Quality Plus Printing was built to provide family-like service at affordable prices. Don't settle for subpar family photos. Quality Plus Printing will bring them to life on a cup, canvas, or card. Quality service plus great quality printing on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Get to Family Natural Foods to hear Cheryl Myers, a Purdue graduate, talk about natural medicines that outperform many traditional drugs. Also, get the biggest discount ever on all Terry Naturally supplements after the event only. The lecture will be at First Baptist Church, 910 McKinley Street, right behind Family Natural Foods, June 25th, 5:15 p.m. A free meet and greet to follow with light snacks and drinks after the event. Family Natural Foods, your neighborhood pharmacy. Join them June 25th.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for Playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
105.5 FM WIRI Wisconsin is your station for high school sports. Catch Randy and Mike on the call all season long. Listen on your radio at 105.5 FM or on the Civic Media app.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour. Heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at 105.5 WIRI. A big thanks to the King for playing us in. That's always nice of him. Appreciate Mr. Strait. He's a great guy. There's a growing list in my head, Randy, of artists that I got to see live. He's way up at the top of the list.
My daughter and son-in-law went to see Alan Jackson in his last concert in Milwaukee. They said it was a tearjerker.
I can't imagine.
They said it was fabulous.
We appreciate you joining us here. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. 715-424-2600. Love to have you join us with your sports takes, feelings, all of that. Our good friend Randy does an amazing job, has for a long time, covering a local area around here. And what do you got for us today, Randy?
Well, isn't it amazing that the high school sports season just wrapped up this last weekend? And
crazy.
In less than two months, we'll be right back at it. But the 42nd annual Girls Soccer State Championships were held at Eline Park in Milwaukee this past Saturday. And in Division I, top seed and undefeated Muskego won its fourth straight title in a shootout over Madison West, 1-1 at the end of regulation and 3-0 in the shootout. D2 saw Brookfield Central win its seventh state title, 2-1 over Pewaukee. In Division III, top-seeded Catholic Memorial now has 11 championships as they doubled up Edgewood, 4-2. And in Division IV, number one seed Appleton Xavier won its fourth state crown as they blanked Ozaukee Random Lake, 2-0. And that's the end of the high school sports season, and we'll be right back with high school football right after this announcement.
It really does seem to be like you blink and it's right here. It's
like we always say, we blink and summer's over. We talk so excitedly all winter long about, we're only 3 months away from the rafters. Now it's only 6 weeks. Now we're a month away into it already.
We're a big congratulations to every local high school we have around here on a great season in multiple sports. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun following these teams, a number of them making deep runs in the playoffs and everything. I have to say a special shout out to Assumption High School, though, who in a number of different sports gave us quite the year, obviously with ladies basketball. But I mean, it wasn't just that. As you just got done telling us, even in soccer, we had a long run here, too.
And softball, they lost to Pacelli, who lost the state championship game in like 9 innings, 1-0. So, I mean, they were that close to getting to state in both soccer and softball. So you take this small school, this small number of girls who just won a state championship in basketball. Now you split them up, put them in two different sports, and they still excel in the sport. It's crazy.
Really fun year for that particular high school. And we're looking forward to bringing you more high school sports next season. One of the things that is fun for the audience, I think, to know behind the curtain here is we've got pieces in place that we didn't have last year going into the season that kind of developed over the season as far as people that are able to run these boards and some of that. I've been fighting for a while to get Michael on the payroll, and we can do more with that now. There's a number of little things that have happened behind the scenes here that are just, and our connections are stronger with a lot of these high schools, with the WIAA, a lot of that, that just is going to be able to, I'm not just like, it's not just a tagline or me saying this to try to, you know, hype people up or something like that. I only say what I can back up on the air, and we are going to be doing even more coverage next year. We are going to be bringing you so much this season, this coming season, that we're so excited about.
And you make a really good point, you know, with Michael being aboard and doing so many more games that have made it possible, but also getting the people who are back here at the studios, those unseen heroes who are pushing the right buttons to make sure that we get on the air. And then, of course, all of our sponsors who allow us to have those people behind the scenes, allow us to go out on the road and make these, broadcast these games. It's just a collaborative effort, and it's a lot of fun.
All of those businesses out there, I imagine some people running things over there remember what it was like to be a part of high school athletics, or maybe wanted to be a part of athletics and stuff. What a better team, what a better way to do it. Join the team here. And get ready for the high school season. We'd love to have as many sponsors as possible at 715-424-1300. Call up. You'll talk to Pam. She'll put you in touch with our sales staff.
Mm-hmm.
And be on the lookout, everybody. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, I'm glad I got Randy on the phone today.
Hey.
You too, James. I mean, I can't forget you, but it's good to hear Randy. But
It is. No, I'm with you on that, yeah.
So, Randy, high school baseball ever ran this deep into June?
You know, I was kind of thinking the same thing when I was just, you know, kind of getting a few glimpses of the soccer tournament this weekend and going, boy, it sure seems like we are going as long as we've ever done. And I'd have to look back, but it seems to me, I know one year we went to Appleton and followed Nakusa in the state tournament, and it sure seems to me that was like the first week in June.
Yeah, because I remember when I was in high school and we made it to state, I mean, it was almost conflicting a little bit with a lot of our graduations, or my senior year, because state was like right after graduation. It was like right after Memorial Day. And I just can't believe how late it is now, you know.
The only thing I'm thinking, and I don't, you know, I'm just speculating here, because we have something like Assumption where they have, you know, the girls have to split up and they're playing both teams, that they're trying to spread this out so that they don't all fall on top of each other, so that it's baseball and then it's soccer, and that they've got a week apart so that they can run these tournaments. And maybe it's part of it, it's officials too. You know, a lot of these gentlemen and ladies are doing multiple sports. They don't just do basketball. They also do baseball, softball, soccer, whatever it might be. So maybe just the deficiency of officials might have something to do with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it just really, I mean, it just seems like it's, like you said, I mean, we're almost in July, and they're just now finishing up all the state tournaments this weekend.
Right. It did seem odd to me, too. I agree.
Oh. Well, yes, they got to make their money somewhere. I mean, I don't know how much they make off the stuff, but
yeah. And you know, there's more. I don't know. I seem to remember there being more teams now too than there have been in recent years. So there might be some of that too that plays into it. Being able to schedule this stuff is a nightmare. for these ADs and some of that too. I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, but I do think that it some of it is understandable and some of it is a little head scratching, like you guys are talking about. I completely agree with you. I just I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit with it, I guess.
Here's another thought that just popped into my head when my kids 20 years ago were in high school. There were only two divisions in soccer. So now there's four.
Yeah, that's definitely
and again, now you're spreading out the officials, and so maybe that all ties together.
And Kev, what you said...
I can go even back deeper than that, Randy. Back 35 years ago, that's when Adam Strunchip went to state, was 35 years ago in baseball. It was A, B, and C.
Yeah, right.
That was it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the answers to all of our questions are money. I mean, you know, no matter if we're talking high school, college, or pros, there's a lot of money for these schools to be able to make. Not just I'm talking about that in college, but in high school, you're looking at the WIAA, you're looking at that on a more local level. As far as being able to not only get tickets out there, but concessions and all these other things. That's a part of it. As much as it is, hey, we got to get as many teams as we can into this. We got more teams now. We got more players. Soccer has grown quite a bit in recent years. And by that, I mean like last 20, 30 years kind of thing.
Right.
So that's part of it, too, to the point of what you know, guys are talking about there, with more teams, more divisions.
Well, even think of major league sports, right? If you didn't win the AL East, the Brewers would come in second place. They weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? They always battled the Yankees or the Orioles back then. You had to win the division. That was the only way you got in, and now everything's so expanded all the way through.
Yeah, and therefore they're going into almost into November, too, with the Baseball World Series. Depends on how how fast those games go with the series.
Oh, yeah. It's not Mr. October anymore, is it? It's now Mr. November.
No, not. It's not. But I kind of want to stay on baseball right now and get your guys' thoughts. Obviously, you're talking money. How much money is it going into Colorado right now?
Oh, yeah.
I was looking over the weekend, and this just astonishes me. And I just could. It was just mind-boggling. They are minus 202 in the run differential.
18 wins.
On a personal level, I have to admit, because I'm always honest with you guys, there is a part of me that is not enjoying this, but appreciative of this, because hopefully they will take the attention away from my Chicago White Sox from last year being the worst team in Major League Baseball history. I just want to be honest with everybody about this. This isn't a bit. I'm 100% real with everyone. I really am hoping that Colorado is worse than Chicago was last year.
Well, I'm really nervous because next Friday through Sunday they're coming to town, and who do you want to play? The team that's got 18 wins.
I got some friends in Miami that were saying the same thing when they were in Miami, and they beat Miami. They beat the Marlins a little bit too and stuff. In all seriousness, though, this is one of the biggest problems with baseball is the contracts don't equal the effort. The contracts don't equal the pay. How many contracts in Major League Baseball, and I'm not just talking about the big ones, I mean every single contract, how many of them do you think that you're getting your money's worth? How many of them? Like, what do you think what percentage would you put on that? Because I would feel putting 20% is high. There are guys that are getting paid millions of dollars right now that are not even batting 200, that are out there out of hope.
Yeah.
Out of hope that out of one of four at-bats, they hit a home run, and that's it.
They might not even be playing and be making $1 million.
The league is so watered down. There is no sport that is more watered down than baseball, and it was like that before the Marlins and the Rockies got in. It was before Tampa Bay got in, it was watered down, let alone now. When we were kids, if a guy was batting 250 and was starting, you just assumed he was the greatest defenseman you ever saw.
He was a shortstop.
Yeah. It was a great, well, of course he's out there. He's a great shortstop. Ozzie Smith is a great example. But it was so rare that we all have the same example in our head. No matter who you ask, we all have Ozzie Smith as our example. That's how rare it was.
And your third baseman had to be hitting 30 home runs a year minimum.
There is not enough talent to go around.
Yeah.
There's not enough. This is only going to get worse because every single sport is also talking about expansion. The NBA is flirting with it right now because of money. We come back to money. And it's right. going to kill these leagues. You will never have enough athletes to fill these teams. You didn't 30 years ago, let alone now.
Well, you know, you look at the Minnesota series and you look in the stands and it's more filled with Brewer fans than Twin fans. And yeah. even at that, it wasn't very full. And it's a border rivalry.
It's a right. city that supports its baseball team. It's a very smart, well-run organization, and even they can't get it right. Even they, in a small market, granted, but I think Minnesota is a pretty smart-run franchise. I think they have been pretty much my whole life. They've been pretty well-run. Not as run as well as you could be, but how many teams have won two titles in your lifetime? How many teams have had recognizable names that we'll remember the rest of our lives, like a Kirby Puckett or something like that? I'm just using them as an example because you brought not only right. brought them up, but that's a team that just a week ago was a darling in the MLB, going on a winning streak and all this and everything. Like that's baseball, man. This is the way it's going to go from now on.
You know, and the thing you think about it though too, and look how long the Brewers have been in baseball, and they don't have any World Series championships,
right?
Mm-hmm. And you got the Colorado Rockies that are barely keeping their heads above water. And they have a World Series in their trophy case.
I've heard a couple of talking heads mentioning that, and it's very disheartening, I'm sure, Kev. I hear you on that. I've heard a number of talking heads saying, well, we got to see how Milwaukee's doing come the trade deadline, if they're buyers or sellers. There's nothing that could happen to me between now and then. Milwaukee should not be a buyer. There's nothing in the MLB that scares me. I am not afraid of the Dodgers. I am not afraid of the Padres. Not when they get out there and start playing. When they get out there and start playing, do you have the arms? Do you have the bats? Because Milwaukee's got the bats. They've shown it. Those bats are ready. They'll be all right in that regard, I think.
Well, here's the interesting part, is that I already just read, I think it was yesterday that I was looking at this, and I saw that this Jacob Mizrowski that the Brewers have, this you know, young phenom who pitched 10 innings of hitless ball before giving up that home run.
Oh, you took my stand right. of the show.
Sorry.
That's all right.
They were just saying how the Dodgers are already eyeing him up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they know the Brewers can never outbid them, you know. So what if we have to pay a tax on this? Who cares? They got money coming out their pockets.
Another take nobody's going to like. They need a cap in baseball.
Yeah.
Sorry, absolutely. You need a cap in baseball.
You're not hurting my feelings on that one at all.
It's the only reason the Packers can stay in, you know. Otherwise, they wouldn't even mm-hmm. be around anymore.
To what Randy's saying there, recently the young Jacob there had the first pitcher in 125 years to give up a run through first 11 innings.
Yeah, you're saying?
125 years in baseball. Nobody but this kid has done in 125 years. My number of the show was 125. That's not only amazing, but it's also amazing whenever we look at baseball stats, and some of them can go back that far. That's pretty crazy. Kev, it's so good to talk to you, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
You too, man. A little bit of an old school show. We got Kev there. Randy's with us. Man,
we're talking old here.
Yeah. We'll be back to wrap up the show. Playmakers here at WIRI.
Get to Family Natural Foods to hear Cheryl Myers, a Purdue graduate, talk about natural medicines that outperform many traditional drugs. Also, get the biggest discount ever on all Terry Naturally supplements after the event only. The lecture will be at First Baptist Church, 910 McKinley Street, right behind Family Natural Foods, June 25th, 5:15 p.m. A free meet and greet to follow with light snacks and drinks after the event. Family Natural Foods, your neighborhood pharmacy. Join them June 25th.
Have you ever looked at their name closely? Quality Plus Printing. Your one-stop location for creative design, great customer service, printing for any occasion, and even creating a custom clothing line for your sports team or next family vacation. Quality Plus Printing was built to provide family-like service at affordable prices. Don't settle for subpar family photos. Quality Plus Printing will bring them to life on a cup, canvas, or card. Quality service plus great quality printing on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
This is 105.5 WIRI.
Yeah, my whole life sounds like the rain.
WIRI. on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour, heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning. I almost did a morning show.
Almost did it.
Yeah, I was thinking about Chris Stapleton. That's where my brain was, I'll be honest with you.
I was thinking about the Brewers. 47 hits against the Twins this last weekend.
How about that?
47 hits.
That's what I'm talking about. Those bats are ready. They just, you know, you get the arms in there, which they're starting to get more and
more healthy, right?
There's no reason that team should be selling at all.
No.
Especially when you've got a young superstar like Jackson Churio in there and stuff. Why would anybody even think they'd be sellers? The Cubs are not nothing to be scared of. They could be beat. You've seen that.
I think they just cut it to 3.5 games.
I don't get it. I don't get it. See, St. Louis is starting to come back to earth
a
little bit.
Behind the Brewers.
Buster Olney was just talking about they're one of the teams to be staring at the most as far as the trade deadline being sellers.
Ooh.
So Nolan Arenado, I don't believe he's going to be in a Cardinal uniform by the end of the season. I don't know. I don't think there's any reason for them at all to not be trying and not be going all in, especially to your point earlier, how often is this window come open?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing we talked about with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this window does not open very often, and there is no guarantee that you're ever going to get another Jackson Churio or Giannis Antetokounmpo or anything like
right.
that. One thing I've always appreciated about Wisconsin fans in this stretch of time that I've lived here, it's also, you know, with my Maloff luck, aligned with the fact of the Favre and Roger years and that back-to-back, and now with Jordan Love being there and everything. And you're looking at this arguably, you know, we got to let Love play his career out and everything, but all things being considered, looks like he's going to be a far above average quarterback.
Right.
Top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I'm lowballing this. I think he's got the potential to be top 3.
Got to stay healthy.
But he's got to stay healthy, yep. Of course. But he's got all of the things you ask for.
And they're surrounding him with some tools.
Yes, they are. Yeah. So again, you know, he's got all the potential. With all that being said, I've never known a Wisconsin fan that just assumed that mm-hmm. was going to happen. Well, yeah, we lost Aaron Rodgers, but we'll get another star quarterback. Oh, we lost this person, but we'll get another star. I feel like Wisconsin fans have an appreciation, and they are in the moment enough, and not in the moment enough, I should say, to expect this.
One of the things I think
that's something in sports, just because I get really tired of some fan bases that just assume that they should win every year. You don't get that from Wisconsin.
And
at least I never have.
What I think is really exciting is just what's going on with the Brewers now. You know, everybody was struggling to hit there for a while. You know, we had a whole bunch of 200 hitters. Suddenly, they're starting to hit a little bit more. But one of the things that's really exciting about them, the pitching's getting healthy, that's one. But the other one, the speed. I mean, what used to be just routine ground balls are not routine anymore. These guys are beating these things out.
I don't care if Pat Murphy was coaching a T-ball team. I'm watching. I love the way he coaches a game.
So aggressive.
I love the way he... Yes. That's how the White Sox won a World Series. This is where I'm going, you guys. Nobody had the White Sox winning a World Series in 05. And then once they saw them play, darn sure nobody thought they were going to win a World Series playing small ball and running the bases like Ozzie had them doing. But Ozzie, very similar to Pat Murphy, understood his guys, worked with the talent he had, not the talent he was hoping to get or any of that stuff, and saw, oh, okay, I got 3-4 guys out there that can give me 8-9 innings. I got one of the best defensive teams of all time standing behind him. Let's go to work. Let's do this. And you end up going, and even in the World Series, nobody had them beating Houston. We swept them. I'm telling you, if the White Sox can do this, you guys can do it. The Brewers can do it, for God's sake. Don't give up on this team. I'm not talking about fans. I don't think fans have or anything like that. But this idea that if they're 5 games back at the trade deadline, they should, why would you? We've seen a wild card team win the World Series, for God's sake.
And they got such good young talent, right? I mean, Joey Ortiz is starting to hit a little bit right now. But my gosh, the way that kid plays defense, he makes these impossible possible plays look routine.
Let these guys gel, lean into the young talent, run this Jacob kid as best you can, and see where things go.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Miz because, you know, he throws over 100 miles an hour, and even his, you know, his breaking stuff is in the upper 90s, and you're just like, that's like reliever stuff because they only have to throw hard for an inning, but to continually throw that hard, you'd always in the back of your mind, you're like, Can he sustain that? But then you think there's people like Nolan Ryan that did too, so you never know.
Story of the show real quick, and we're going to talk about a former Brewer, Prince Fielder. The Major League Baseball returned to Rick Wood Field 365 days ago when the Giants and Cardinals took the field at America's Old Small Park, recent stars of the big league. We saw that happen. Well, the Negro League's East-West All-Star Game was first played in 1933 at Chicago's Comiskey Park. Well, they just had another one, and Prince Fielder won the pregame home run derby with an impressive display, crushing several onto the right field roof and over it. He beat out Lewis Brinson and Ryan Howard and Andrew Jones, Nick Swisher, a couple of big names that are fun to say and we haven't heard in a while.
Right.
Fielder mentioned that he did this to honor the former players and everything.
Wow.
And it was kind of a cool moment. And he looks great. Prince Fielder looks great. He looks like he looks a little bit better, actually, than his last
looks
years
like he could play.
In Texas and everything. Yeah, he looks like he got a little more, to him and everything. That was fun to see, though. It's fun to see. It's incredible, too, that he, in some ways, because of that neck injury and everything, that he wasn't able to keep playing and stuff. Because there's a world where he may have only retired a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah,
you know?
He and Ryan Braun were fun in the Brewers, weren't they?
It was a really fun team to watch.
Oh, they were.
Man, yeah.
There you go. Appreciating, right?
Right. Yes. Yep. Yes. And also understanding that this is a window like that back then was, and they traded for CeCe. This is a very similar window.
You're right. Good point.
Got to pounce on it now. Yep. There's a blood drive going on until 7 o'clock over at the former East Union High School music room. Encourage you to check that out if you can. Randy, this felt so good hanging out with you again, man. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for our callers and everything. Have a good weekend, good day, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. It is I, Laura, and I'm happy to be here with y'all today on this Monday evening. Hope you guys are well. I first of all want to thank everybody for stopping by our booth at the Cranberry Blossom Fest this weekend. You guys were awesome. We saw so many people stop by and say, oh, you're our favorite station, or you're the only station I listen to, or I've got you tuned in while I'm at work. And honestly, thank you to all of you. You guys rock. It was awesome to meet every single one of you. And I hope that we get to see you the next time we have a live remote as well. We're going to kick off the show here with Jason Aldean.